votre quotidien, c'est sur Taïwan.
Welcome to True Crime Niger, where we present to you true stories of crimes that happen in our country. We hope that by sharing these stories, we all become more aware of the types of crimes that happen here. And by becoming aware, we become smarter at detecting and hopefully preventing similar crimes. And as always, we welcome feedback. Reach out to us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and WhatsApp. Okay, let's get started. It's a cold morning, 7 a.m. Friday the 6th of May 2016. The landlady wakes up to a loud pitch that sounded like a shriek coming from one of her three-bedroom apartments upstairs. She tries to go back to sleep, but the shrieks slowly turn to long, continuous screams. She jumps out of bed and runs straight to her front door to find out what is happening.
As she steps out of her house, she notices that she wasn't the only one who heard the screams. Other neighbors have also come out of their houses. They all have worried looks on their faces. She walks up to the house where the noise is coming from and realizes it's the children of one of her tenants. They are crying loudly from inside the house.
More neighbors now begin to gather at the front door. They try to get the door open, but the door is locked.
They try a few different keys, but when they couldn't find the right one, the landlady tells the neighbors to force the door open.
A couple of men begin to throw their weight against the door. One, two. On the third try, the door flings open. The landlady and neighbors are shocked at what they see on the other end of the door.
Inside the room, lying on the floor, facing up and beneath the stairs, is the lifeless body of their neighbor, Ronke Shondi.
I'm Antonietta.
I'm Richard.
And I'm John.
And this story
could save
your life.
Ronke Shondi was 36 years old when she died. Look at the picture that we found of her online.
Okay, she was a light-skinned, tall and beautiful woman.
Yes, and after she died, many of her neighbors described her as a quiet and easygoing woman. According to an article by Encomium, Ronke got married to her husband, Lekan Shonde, in 2008. At the time, she was about 28 years and he was 15 years older.
So he was about 43? Wow, that's a big gap.
Yes, but they seemed to make it work. They had been married for 8 years before Ronke died. They even had two adorable kids together, ages 6 and 4. They lived a pretty much normal life. Lekan Shonde was a dock worker, while Ronke worked at a bank for a while before leaving to work for a publishing company.
After discovering Ronke's body that Friday morning, the landlady alerts the police, and it takes no time before police and reporters storm the area. Neighbors from near and far gather around the residence of Ronke and Lekan Shonde. They lived on Tiemo Close in the Egbeda Idimu area of Lagos State. As the news reporters arrive on the scene, each of the neighbors have something to say about Ronke and Lekan's marriage, and they were not good things at all.
The marriage is not peaceful, though.
They are always fighting.
I could hear them fighting all the way from my apartment.
Every day, those two are yelling at each other.
One of the residents tells Punch newspaper that Ronke had been enduring an abusive marriage for years.
Oh no.
Some neighbors even allege that Lekan sometimes hits his wife.
Wait, so where's Lekan in all this?
Lekan normally goes to work as early as 5 a.m. to beat the Lagos traffic. so he wasn't around when his wife's body was discovered. The landlady called the police around 8 a.m. and Ronke's body was discovered a little before that.
According to Enconium, the couple's nanny arrives to work shortly after Ronke's body was discovered. And it was the nanny who called Lekon to tell him the news. Lekon tells her that he's at work and that he would come home immediately. But get this, he never shows up.
What?
When they try to call him again, his phone is dead. No one could reach him and he never showed up throughout the day.
So, where is he?
Well, nowhere to be found at this point. So the next day, that's Saturday, the 7th of May, 2016, the Police Public Relations Officer of Lagos Police Command, Dolapo Badmus, speaks to the press about the unfortunate incidents. In her statement, she tells the press that marks of violence were found on Ronke's body.
Marks of violence?
Yes, she says that there were some bruises found on Ronke's body, which suggests that she was murdered in cold blood. According to the police, from all that they had gathered at that point, the murder was committed the day before the body was found.
So on Thursday?
Yes. They allege that Lekon killed his wife, locked the house and fled the scene to an unknown location. After this statement, the police launch a manhunt for Lekon, who is now considered the prime suspect.
Well, yeah, and the fact that he's MIA doesn't help his case.
Exactly. The search for Lekon continued throughout the weekend. And I think at that point, the police were actively engaged in trying to find him.
But then on Monday the 9th of May 2016, Lekon Shonbe just casually walks into a police station.
Hi everyone, it's Nabila, and I'm here to tell you about our other podcast show, The Backstory. Every week, we pick one important news headline in Nigeria and we analyze it from different angles. So, if you're looking for a more comprehensive approach to the news, check out The Backstory on your 234 Audio YouTube channel, on Apple Podcast, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, back to the show.
Ronke Shonde was found dead on Friday the 6th of May 2016, and no one can find her husband, Lekon Shonde. After a two-day search by the police, Lekon turned himself to the commander of the Rapid Response Squad at the Lagos State Police Command on the 9th of May.
So he just walked in?
Yes, that's exactly what he did. According to The Guardian, he was accompanied by some of his friends, and the friends were the ones who persuaded him to turn himself in and face justice.
The Rapid Response Squad hand him over to the Office of the Commissioner of Police, who then hand him over to the State Criminal Investigation Department, PANTI, in Yaba. At each stop, Lekon insists that he is innocent. He claimed over and over again that he loved his wife. I didn't kill her. All of this is just a misrepresentation of facts.
What does that even mean?
According to Lekon, he was at the office that Friday morning when the nanny called to inform him about what happened. He said he was shocked to his bones. He never planned to run away, but then he received a call from the landlady's son, who told him that the police were already in the compound. Lekon said this was what scared him and made him go into hiding.
But that made it more suspicious.
I know, right? But then I guess as a defense, he went on to say if he wanted to escape, he could have. He boasted that if he wanted, he could stay in Lagos for 30 years without ever being found by the police.
How is that supposed to help his case now?
I think he's trying to say that since he showed up at the police station willingly, that means he must be innocent.
But if he's innocent, then why wouldn't he go home as soon as he heard his wife was dead?
So on May 10th, Lekon was allowed to speak to the press and we hear his version of everything that happened that night. According to him, ever since Ronke lost her job as a banker, he has been the one providing for all her needs and the upkeep of their two children. But then, everything changed when she started working for a publishing company in Lagos. She suddenly started coming home late. She went to work from Monday to Sunday, 7 days a week, and hardly prepared food for him and the kids. Lekon said he didn't understand his wife's drastic new behavior, but he felt in his gut that she was cheating on him.
He said that before her death, his wife went on a business trip to Abuja, which lasted for 4 days, leaving him alone with their two kids. A day before her return, a friend called him to tell him that Ronke had been staying in the same hotel room with her boss.
So, was she having an affair?
Well, according to him, yes. Ronke came back from the Abuja trip on Thursday, the 6th of May.
That's the day the police think she died, right?
Yes. Lekan said he came home earlier than usual that day and walked in while Ronke was talking to someone on the phone. He overheard her saying very sexually explicit things to the person on the other line.
Wow. What was she saying?
Well, we can't repeat it here. It's not PG-13. And Lekan said he was shocked and angered by what he heard.
Angry enough to kill her?
That's what the reporters also asked him during the press briefing, but he denied killing her. According to him, when Ronke discovered that he had heard the phone call, he struck her with his hands.
So, like a slap?
Well, yes, but he said that she was still alive when he left her and went to the bedroom for the night. He said that the next morning, that's Friday, as he was getting ready to leave for work, around 5 a.m., he saw her lying on the couch. He thought that she was sleeping, so he didn't bother to wake her up. He took his keys and asked his son to lock up the door from inside.
So that's why the door was locked when the neighbors came after they heard the children crying.
Right.
But wait, if the son locked the door from the inside, why couldn't the son unlock the door again?
Exactly. So the police didn't buy this story. They did not believe that he just slapped her, and the reason why he ran still didn't sit well with them.
There are just so many holes in the story. You can't just slap someone and the person ends up dead.
Right. And most of his stories about being a responsible husband who takes care of his family were not all supported by her family members and friends. According to Enconium, Ronke's family told the police and the press that he is a jealous, insecure, and recklessly violent man.
Wow.
Yup. They accused him of always beating and abusing Ronke. They even gave specific instances where Lekan was constantly following his wife, watching her moves, and stalking her male friends, and even harassing some.
Oh my god, that's a red flag.
Red flags all over the place. And while this was going on, rumors began to spread that Lekan fathered an illegitimate child sometime in 2015.
So he was cheating?
Well, we are not so sure, but this didn't help his case with the police or the public. On the 20th of May, 2016, Ronke was laid to rest in Atan Cemetery in Yaba, Lagos, while Lekan Shonde stood before a chief magistrate and was charged to court for beating his wife to death. He was denied bail and was detained in prison until trial started in June 2016. During the trial, which lasted for about 3 years, the autopsy was revealed. According to Premium Times, Ronke Shonde died from respiratory failure caused by cerebral edema, that is the swollen brain, which was caused by blunt force trauma to the brain.
So he hit her so hard on her head that she stopped breathing.
Yes, a bruise was also found on her left jaw. Blood had pooled in her skull, just beneath the skin. It was also discovered that Ronke had black eyes, which according to the pathologist is a telltale sign of brain injury. The pathologist also revealed he saw evidence of old injuries to Ronke's brain, suggesting that she had been hit or beaten before.
Yes, and her family and the neighbors also alleged that he was beating her. Oh my god, this is sad. I can't even begin to imagine what Ronke went through.
I don't think anyone can. But even with all the evidence, Lekan still denied he killed her. On October 24th, 2017, he pleaded not guilty in court.
According to The Guardian, he told the court that after he slapped Ronke that night, she fell to the ground, but he saw her standing up afterward. According to what he said, she even went into the bathroom to take a bath and change her clothing.
So why did he go into hiding when he found out she was dead?
The prosecutor asked him that during cross-examination. He said his father called him and asked him to stay away because he might be hurt if he returned that day.
I thought he said he ran because the landlady's son called him.
Well, he changed his story in court, but it doesn't matter because the autopsy results corresponded with the prosecution case. He was not going to get away with murder.
On Friday, the 8th of March, 2019, Justice Josephine Oyefeso of Lagos High Court in Ikeja sentenced Lekan to death by hanging. According to The Guardian, the judge gave a statement during sentencing. Maybe you can help read it out for everyone to hear.
Okay, She said, "I cannot but hold the sudden provocation, the heat of passion, and the retaliation. The violence used by Lincoln Shonde was more than a reasonable man. The defendant in the case was very economical with the truth, stating that he only slapped her when he overheard his wife on a phone call praising the sexual prowess of a lover does not match the degree of the autopsy report. In the light of overwhelming evidence against the defendant, the court is satisfied that the prosecution proved its case beyond a reasonable doubt. The act was intentionally done. I found the defendant guilty. I'm so glad her family gave permission to do the autopsy. The autopsy results really helped prove the case against him."
Yes, but this is such a sad story. Ronke's life was cut short because of her abusive husband.
And the poor kids for going through the traumatic experience of finding their mother dead.
Domestic violence is something everyone should be serious about.
Yes, please, if you're in an abusive relationship, get out before it's too late. Join us next week for the story of a girl who draws a very incriminating picture. True Crime Ninja is a Triple E Media production. Copyright 2021 Triple E Media Productions. If you enjoyed this episode of True Crime Ninja and want to hear more, subscribe to our 234 Audio YouTube channel. Episodes of this podcast and our other podcasts can also be found on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe and leave us a review. This episode was produced by Antonietta Kalunta, John Iwodi, Richard Anyebe, Dominic Tabakaji, and Sam Tabakaji. Executive producer, Rahmat Muhammad. Special thanks to Rabia Hadija, Aredi Isha, and Mala Iwagbadu Ikaleku. Stay alert, stay alive. See you next week.